Ace Podcast.
10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hello to you, fine listener, and hello to you, Craig. How are you?
I am fine.
My name is Aaron, and you're listening to the Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone Podcast.
I don't get to say I'm Craig.
You are Craig.
I am.
Yeah, and we're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios.
Mostly live.
Mostly live. I've heard that 3 or 4 times this week.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, it's stronger. That smell.
I smell it again.
It's stronger this time. Yeah.
Change.
Yeah, it smells like
it's
change.
It's the winds of change.
It smells like change coming.
It's not wind coming from that side, is it?
Hope not. Okay. All right, Craig, top story.
Top story.
Headline is, woman found wet, mostly naked, says she's a mermaid.
Mostly naked, she's a mermaid.
Yes, I don't know what that means. But
well, she's probably wearing a couple shells up top, and then she's got like her fins on the bottom.
This is from Fresno, California, no doubt. It comes to us from Casey.
No, from Casey.
News. A woman was found near Table Mountain on Tuesday morning, and she didn't seem to know who she is, the Fresno Police Department said. The woman was found about 3:15 in the morning walking in the middle of the street on Millerton Road, about a mile south of Table Mountain. When she was found, her hair was wet, and she was mostly naked. She told police officers that she had been in the water.
That's not really impressive.
No, but that would explain the wetness.
That's true.
She answers, "I don't know," to most questions, police said, and she claimed to be a mermaid named Joanna. Now, she's only 5'4". And she weighs about 150 pounds, but she does have webbed
feet. She has webbed feet.
She does have webbed feet. Now, I've got a little audio package on this if you're interested.
Okay.
A driver passing by found an almost fully naked woman walking in the middle of the street. It was on Millerton Road at Brighton Crest near Table Mountain Casino around 3 a.m. Police say she claimed to be a mermaid.
She was wet. She said she had been in the lake. She said she needed help and needed to be taken to the hospital.
The driver took her to St. Agnes Hospital to get checked out.
After she knows police began to question her,
she gave police a name of Joanna, but says she didn't know how she ended up there.
We did go through our records after fingerprinting her, and we still are not coming up with her identity.
It's like a movie.
The woman stands 5'4" tall and weighs 150 pounds. Police think she could be between 17 and 20 years
She's
old.
She's making a splash.
She has webbed toes on both feet.
That's the movie.
There's some strange things that happen up here. We're in the mountains.
Karen Renwick says the woman is lucky she didn't
happen.
Get hit on Millerton Road.
They drive very fast. We've had wrecks. We just had a big one.
They just had a big wreck
Resident
right there.
What does that have to do with a mermaid? And hope someone who knows her will call them.
We're trying to piece together the information to try to, you know, identify this person.
And by the number of shares, comments, and likes on our Facebook page, she may be identified sooner than later. Matt Mendes, KC24, local news.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so. It's a sad story because
mermaids need to have people need to know about the plight of the mermaid.
And she didn't speak like a dolphin. She said Joanna like a human.
Right.
You know,
and she could speak unlike the mermaid in the movie, the Disney movie, who couldn't speak for some reason.
Ariel.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I ruined that movie for my daughter who loves Disney.
Really?
You know how I ruined it for her?
No.
I said, okay, so early on in Little Mermaid, they established that she knows how to read and write.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when she gets up top, and she meets the guy, right? Her Prince Charming.
Yes.
Why didn't she just write him a note and tell him what was going on?
Because the air made her forget.
You made that up.
I did make that up.
That's not true.
But that's what I would have said to my child.
Can we just go to Australia now?
Oh, heck yes, we can go to Australia.
Sydney, Australia.
That's my favorite.
Australian customs officers got more than they bargained for. I bet they did not, because they are constantly dealing with stupid stuff like that.
I bet you're right.
When 2 shoeboxes arrive from Europe with venomous snakes, exotic spiders, and scorpions.
Oh, my gosh.
Slithering inside the creepy, crawly cargo.
That's insane.
The unusual discovery was made at Melbourne last month in 2 boxes marked shoes sent through the mail in a consignment identified as coming from North Europe.
Well, why would Europe do this? They've already got more than they handled in Australia.
I have no idea. The parcel included 6 venomous vipers native to Southeast Asia, 3 ball pythons, 9 large tarantulas from Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia, plus Asian forest scorpions.
Oh, these guys, I know what they were doing. They said, okay, Australia, you think you're so bad?
Send you a sample pack.
Yeah, here's what we got.
Australian Border Force officers in a statement on Tuesday headlined, "Creepy Crawly Cargo," said the snake, spiders, and scorpions posed a high biosecurity risk because they can carry pests and diseases that aren't present down under.
Uh-oh.
But the Department of Agriculture and Water Resources also saw the lighter size.
Well, wait a second. I thought all pests and diseases were already in Australia.
I thought they all lived there.
Yeah.
They're probably family reunion.
Because they got some mean stuff in Australia. Even the kangaroos.
Kangaroos? Kangaroos.
That's a cookie, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd like a box of kangaroos,
please.
I'll
take some kangaroos, mate. This detection appears to be a clear attempt to get around the rules that are in place to protect us all, said Lynn O'Connell, a department official responsible for biosecurity. But, you know, they're real serious about this. Remember Johnny Depp smuggling the dogs?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he couldn't stay.
No spider is a match for our biosecurity web.
Oh.
We get our tails up.
Yeah.
When there are scorpions in the mail, and if you try to send exotic snakes, beware. If we find an intentional noncompliance, we bite back with full force of the law.
So he threw 3 good puns in that one sentence.
Yeah, he did. That was really the story.
It was. He said, no spider is a match for our biosecurity web, number one.
Web.
And then he said, we get our tails up when he's talking about the scorpions, number two. And then he said, beware of the snakes because we bite back.
Yeah, this guy's a pro.
He is good.
This is the guy they send out to talk to the media.
We need to contact Lynn O'Connell. I wonder if some of our friends in Australia can get him in touch with us.
I don't know. Some of our mates.
Yeah, some of the mates we got over there. And
investigations are continuing into the source of the shipment, with officials believing they were destined for the black market. Well, that's racist. Where live reptiles are in demand.
They need more live, dangerous things in Australia.
I don't know. Let's just get to a good story about a man with a bra throwing a water balloon.
Headline is, man in bra throws water balloon at trooper and then leads him on a chase. I wonder if it's like a foot chase and the Benny Hill music was playing, the yakety sax. A man wearing a bra threw water balloons at a Tennessee state trooper.
Welcome to Tennessee. Proud as usual.
He had to be an out-of-towner. And then led him on a high-speed chase reaching speeds of 100 miles per hour on Sunday, according to an arrest warrant. Alan Brian Prisby, 57, of Decatur.
Yep,
I knew it. Yes, was arrested and charged with evading arrest, driving under the influence, implied consent violation, reckless driving, and speeding. According to the warrant, Tennessee Highway Patrol Trooper Julio LaSalle was checking the Welcome Center
That's Julio.
Julio LaSalle.
You can call him Julio if you want.
He'll probably hit me or arrest me or something. Was checking the Welcome Center when he saw a maroon Jeep Wrangler parked in the commercial vehicle parking area, probably like where they weigh the trucks, I would think. He went to tell the driver that he wasn't allowed to park there, but before he reached the Jeep, a white object, that's racist, later identified as a water balloon,
that's my line,
was thrown from the window. When I approached the open car door, the subject was wearing a white bra, and he removed a second water balloon.
So was he wearing the balloons were in the bra?
Yes, he was packing.
Okay.
And he tried to bust it on the ground near my feet, LaSalle wrote in the warrant. The balloons had been in the man's bra.
That line right there alone, the man's bra.
That'd be a bro, actually.
The bro.
Yeah, the man's ear.
That's right.
The subject appeared to be under the influence.
You think?
I would think. And when he went back to call the dispatch, the subject backed up and entered the interstate. LaSalle followed with his lights and sirens on, but the man began driving at more than 100 miles per hour.
Glad it wasn't a fully automatic bra.
Straddling the center line at times and passing other vehicles on the right, almost causing a crash. The man exited at exit 4, turned right into Westfield Court, and finally stopped in a business parking lot.
He stopped at Balloons R Us.
Yeah, it's right next to Victoria's Secret.
Right.
He had slurred speech, red watery eyes, and smelled of alcohol. He failed. He refused to take a field sobriety test or a blood test.
Like, you guys already know.
Why waste your time?
Yeah, why waste the perfectly good resources? Man tries to rob Pontiac Bank. Leaves without money when teller walks away.
A Pontiac bank. That means it was a new bank, and then all of a sudden it didn't work anymore.
Right.
Two weeks later,
it didn't work anyway. Was that a car joke?
No.
You got something you want to talk about?
I have bad experiences with Pontiacs.
Yeah, don't worry. You know why? They can't hurt anybody anymore.
That's true. They're gone. They're gone.
Although the G6 was a nice car.
Sure.
The last one
looked good.
The last one. No, I rented one. They were actually pretty good cars.
No, they're good for like a
month. I wanted to buy one back
like
off.
Like for a month, they're
I
good.
I rented it, okay?
Yeah, they look good.
I was just there. Man leaves Pontiac Bank without money after attempted robbery. Pontiac, Michigan. Oh, because it really, okay, you know
what? Did you read the headline? You did, didn't you?
I did, but okay. We're not talking about Pontiac, a car. We're talking about a bank that's in Pontiac, Michigan.
Exactly. The Pontiac Bank.
Where they keep all the Pontiacs.
Yes.
Police are searching for a man who is accused of trying to rob a Pontiac bank by handing a note demanding money to a bank teller. Officers responded at 12:21 p.m. Friday to reports of an attempted robbery at the PNC Bank on North Perry Street near Glenwood Avenue.
Oh, I know where that is.
Well, yeah, it's the PNC Bank on North Perry Street near Glenwood Avenue.
It's in Pontiac.
It says so right there.
Michigan.
Employees said a man walked into the bank and handed the teller a note demanding money and implying that he had a gun.
I got a gun.
The teller walked away from the area and the man fled the bank without any money.
You just wait right here.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
I gotta get something.
Police tried to track the man with the canine unit, but they were unsuccessful. No gun was seen during the incident.
So
what happens if you go into a bank and you actually want to hand the teller a thank you note?
I bet you get some stares.
I bet you get in trouble.
I bet you do too. But this guy walks
just
in.
A thank you note.
The guy walks in, hands her a note, says, "Give me all your money, or I'll shoot you." And what does she do? She just walks away.
She says, "I'll be
right
back."
She's superwoman.
Yeah, she's just indifferent.
Super chill.
She was really looking for a reason to get out of that job anyway.
Okay, here's an interesting story. Headline is: Woman claims her body brews alcohol. Craig, she has her DUI charge dismissed.
So she's arguing that her body has a natural blood alcohol level,
and come to find out, it does.
Get out.
This is from CNN.
No, I mean, get out.
Imagine being charged with a DUI.
Hold on. I'm imagining that.
When you've been.
That wasn't much fun.
When it's been hours since you've had a drink, only to later discover that your body brews its own alcohol. No wonder she's always slurring and in a good mood and slapping people and loving everybody. That's what happened
she thinks everybody's good looking.
Yeah, that's what happened to an upstate New York woman. When she blew a blood alcohol level more than four times the legal limit.
Wow.
Limit, yeah. This was just before Christmas in Hamburg, New York. A judge dismissed the charges after being presented with evidence that the woman suffers from Alto Brewery Syndrome.
I know people that suffer from brewery syndrome.
No, this is Alto Brewery Syndrome.
Craft Brewery Syndrome.
I had never heard of an Alto Brewery Syndrome.
Because it's made up.
No, it's not.
It's made up.
Before the case, attorney Joseph Marask told CNN.
I bet he looked on
It's a
Wikipedia,
real deal.
So they thought it was real.
The condition of his client's identity remains anonymous. But I knew something was amiss when the police took the woman to the hospital and they wanted to release her immediately because she wasn't exhibiting any symptoms. That prompts me to get on the internet to see if there's any sort of explanation for a weird reading. Because if she's at four times the legal limit, she's going to need a hospital.
Should I be concerned that, was this the judge that got on the internet?
No, this is her attorney.
Her attorney. Yeah. Should I not be a little concerned maybe that the parties involved should not have maybe consulted an actual doctor?
Well, they did. They went to the hospital and they said there's nothing wrong with her. She's got to go.
Okay, but when you read something like this and you go, oh, that's a real thing, don't you think you probably start looking for people that could back that up?
I think they do.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay. So that prompts me to get on the internet and see if there's any sort of explanation for a weird reading, adds Marask. Up pops Alto Brewery Syndrome, and away we go. I'm in touch with about 30 people who believe they have this syndrome.
Sure, everybody's got it all of a sudden.
And about 10 of them are diagnosed with it.
Right.
Said Panola College Dean Nursing Barbara Cordell, who has studied the syndrome for years.
Whatever.
So it's been around. They can function at alcohol levels such as 0.30 and 0.40 when the average person would be comatose or dying. Part of the mystery of this syndrome is how they can have these extremely high levels and still be walking.
Okay, but this changed. This went from a person that has some condition, Alto Brewery Syndrome, that like shows they've got a big blood alcohol level.
Yeah.
It's changed to just people that can hold their liquor.
Yeah, but
when
listen,
you get to the end of the story.
I've got an audio package.
For most, the relationship between alcohol consumption and blood alcohol content is rather straightforward. The more one drinks, the higher the number goes. One woman in Western New York State, however, is not most people, and as such, recently had her DWI charge dismissed by the court. She suffers from a condition called Alto Brewery Syndrome. People affected by it can become drunk without taking even a sip of alcohol, as excess yeast in their guts brews up its own using consumed food, particularly carbohydrates. When the New York woman was pulled over, her blood alcohol content registered about 0.33, a level often accompanied by falling down, asleep, or both.
Yeah.
Yet she reported feeling steady at the time she was pulled over.
Like, so she can hold her liquor.
Medical tests and examinations revealed the digestive disorder as the probable cause.
So you're saying that this is not even a real syndrome?
I'm saying that I'm a little suspicious of the fact that they start out by saying it's a syndrome.
Yeah.
Then they start talking about how a person can walk around with the high level of alcohol in their blood.
Yeah.
That's just a person who can hold their liquor.
Yeah. But she hadn't had a drink.
That's says her.
Says her attorney.
I think the video footage would say something different.
I bet not.
Hey, let's go back to England.
Oh, I like England.
The public was asked to name a new ferry, and the inevitable happened.
Okay.
Because I like the Bodie McBoatface
was awesome, and that comes up in this story. But yes. When will people learn? Do these people not have internet?
Do you just know you never ask the internet, because
never.
The internet will deliver.
Absolutely.
Ask Shia.
Yeah.
You think Bodie McBoatface, Gritty McGritface, and Horsey McHorseface would have taught the UK a thing or two about trusting the public when naming something? So when the Isle of Wight Council turned to the public to name their new floating bridge, you can only guess what happened
yep.
next. Last week, they posted an appeal on Facebook asking to give Floating Bridge Number 6 a more exciting name. Fools.
Really?
That's what it says, fools.
Yeah.
We'll admit Floating Bridge Number 6 isn't the most exciting of names for a new state-of-the-art modern floating bridge, but it is its registered name. Think you can do a better job of naming her? Here's your chance to get involved and think of something more exciting. Please comment on this pinned post with your suggestions before noon on 7 April 2017. Once collated, the best 6 suggestions will be put into the public vote via the Facebook.
So guess what happened?
And the people spoke.
Yes.
More than 2,000 people commented. And although there were a few sensible suggestions, the majority wanted Floaty McFloatface. As we all know, Bodie McBoatface didn't really go to plan after the Natural Environment Research Council decided to call their polar research vessel Sir David Attenborough instead.
That's wrong, too. If you ask the public to name something...
Yeah, because clearly everybody liked Richard Attenborough better.
Really? All right, so last week, or a couple of episodes ago, Craig, we had the story of the man that says, had the shirt on, who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs.
Right, yeah.
Was arrested for drugs.
And now they've got the news.
It's happened again. Man in Drunk Lives Matter t-shirt charged with DUI.
If you're going to go out drinking heavily,
yes.
Don't wear your Drunk Lives Matter shirt.
A man wearing a t-shirt that says Drunk Lives Matter was charged with DUI by Newville Police. Elwood R. Gutshaw. No wonder he's drinking. The name like Gutshaw
wow.
the third, age 44, wearing a green St. Patrick's Day t-shirt, was charged March 19th with DUI after police said he committed several traffic violations. His pickup truck was stopped at 12:15 in the morning. You know, Craig, not a lot good happens out after midnight.
12:15 a.m.
And his blood alcohol level was found to be at 0.217%.
Well, he just has that brewery thing. His body brews his own.
He's got self-brewery syndrome or whatever that's called. He was charged with the highest level of DUI, driving under suspicion, and traffic violations.
And really, it's just silliness that he had that shirt on, because he was just a guy that got caught drinking, but it's just underscored how stupid he is by having that shirt on.
Yeah, it's dumb.
All right. You like a good pun.
Oh, shoot, yeah. You know how my sense of humor.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Hamilton police ask public to remain calm after $45,000 lettuce heist.
Man, that's a lot of lettuce.
That is a lot of lettuce, which is also a term for money.
It really is.
Just remain calm.
Everybody remain calm.
Investigators say a truck and a trailer containing the lettuce was taken sometime between March 31st and April 1st. They're asking the public to let us know.
See?
If you have any tips.
Wait a second, though. So it was a $45,000 lettuce heist.
How much lettuce does that have to be?
And it's just one truck. They're including the price of the truck.
Must be.
Have to.
Police are using a few puns in an effort to bring attention to a large lettuce theft in Hamilton. In a release Tuesday, they asked the public to remain calm after the heist. Investigators say a truck and refrigerated trailer containing $45,000 worth of lettuce.
What kind of lettuce is this in one truck that's worth $45,000?
Hey, remain calm.
I was starting to get a little excited.
Let us complete this.
Sure.
It was taken between 8 p.m. on March 31st and 4 p.m. on April 1st. They say the truck was driven to Toronto, where the truck was left behind, but the trailer and the lettuce is still missing.
So
it's a band of rabbits. It was rabbits smuggling
lettuce. Almost Easter.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf. Craig, Shia LaBeouf again. Yes, we need a Shia LaBeouf theme.
Now, as soon as we get one, we'll stop talking about it.
I should have some of that. He will not divide us stuff going. Right. But anyway, headline is Shia LaBeouf's Man Down. That's a movie. That's his new movie. Likely to end UK run with just 3 tickets sold. It opened to
what
one.
What is it?
It's a movie. It's a movie about him being in the army or something. A box office.
Three tickets.
Those
were friends or family.
Yeah, I don't know. A box office jump of 200% since its much derided opening will bring the film's.
Well, it is still 200%.
Will bring the film's final theatrical haul in the UK to $26.
Wow.
That's terrible.
That works out pretty good considering the budget was 12.
Yeah. The film starring Shia LaBeouf as a PTSD suffering U.S. soldier.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes, returning home from Afghanistan, made headlines Tuesday after it was found to have opened in the U.K. with just one solitary person buying a cinema ticket.
He was there on a dare.
Do you think they just don't like Shia LaBeouf over there? Does anybody?
Well,
they don't like him over here much either. In fairness to Man Down.
He should have put his movie on a flagpole somewhere.
Here in Tennessee. It was only showing in one theater, a branch of the Real Cinema chain. And only once a day. But still, one $8.70 bow must still rank among the lowest ever, especially for an A-list vehicle. The film also stars Gary Oldman. Ooh, that might be worth seeing.
Well, that's sad, too, because Gary Oldman is such a good actor.
He's
a fantastic actor. Why would he be in this?
However, speaking to the cinema manager, the Hollywood Reporter has learned that the film has since tripled its box office takings.
It's taken $21, huh?
Yeah, $26. I think we've sold 3 tickets in total, she revealed, adding that she hadn't experienced anything like it before.
Yeah, they haven't sold them because people are going, I'm not paying for this. They go, okay, go on in.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But see, the first person bought a ticket the day it opened, and then the second, they sold 1 ticket, and that made news.
We need to double check these facts.
And then the second, there's numerous stories about this out there. The second day, a couple went, so that's 2 tickets, and then they said, that's it. It's not worth us to show this movie.
Well, they should have known that on the front end.
The manager said Man Down would end its week-long run in Burnley's Real Cinema this Thursday, highly likely without any further purchases being made. A move that would see the film's UK theatrical max out at $26.20, rather less than the $454,490 it earned following a limited theatrical run in the US last December.
It looks like it gets a 5.8 out of 10.
What site is that?
I don't know.
Because you know,
I'm on Internet Movie Database, but I don't know how this is broken down.
Yeah.
The whole movie's broken down.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Aaron.
Yep.
You know how you really think that Coke is poop?
No, I don't. I love Coke.
Oh, it's Pepsi that's poop.
Yeah, I can't stand Pepsi.
In this case,
yeah.
Coke is.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola plant shuts down for super gross reason. Cans containing suspected human waste jammed machines.
That's not a soda?
That's not a soda.
That's poop.
Police are investigating after suspected human waste was found inside cans at a Coca-Cola plant in Ireland. The Belfast Telegraph reports.
How does this happen?
Topless cans. Oh, I feel so uncomfortable calling them that. Topless cans arrived. Can I say that on a family show?
Yes, you can.
Topless cans arrived in the factory to be filled by Coca-Cola products and sealed before they're sold around Northern Ireland. The cans in question, believed to have come from Germany,
that's it,
jammed the plant's machines during the night shift. Apparent human waste in the cans was determined to be the culprit. An unnamed source describes an absolutely horrible scene that resulted in the machines being turned off for 15 hours for cleaning. The Guardian specifies the type of human waste found in the cans was feces.
Okay, here's the deal. First of all,
versus PP.
Fecal surprise.
For real. Germany said, we're sending these cans.
That's right.
give them a little something
extra. Soda terrorism.
Yeah.
One Irish politician tells the BBC that Coca-Cola are sticklers for hygiene and cleanliness. The drink giant says all the tainted cans were caught and no products available to the public were affected.
Good.
But the machines that processed them were. While the investigation by both police and Coca-Cola is ongoing, one rumor is that the human waste came from immigrants attempting to enter the UK in the back of the truck and use the cans as toilets out of desperation.
You know what? That makes sense.
Were the cans open on top?
Yeah. Yeah, they said they were topless when they got there.
I was under the impression that they make all this stuff in the factory. You know, if you see like things being made in factories, usually it seems like all that stuff's already like, you know, it's being assembled.
Well, this is Germany. Or nowhere was it? It wasn't Germany.
No, it was Ireland. Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland.
They're completely different countries, Aaron.
Okay.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Headline is, South Florida's most infamous butt doctor was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Is this actually a buttocks that was actually a doctor?
No, it wasn't. But O'Neill Ron Morris, the infamous South Florida quack, known alternately as the fix-a-flat doctor and the Duchess, was sentenced to a decade in prison on Monday for a butt injection gone horribly wrong.
Oh, no.
The fake doc was first arrested for allegedly practicing medicine without a license in 2011 and served a year in prison. But she later made her name nationally with cringe-inducing details of her botched butt surgeries, including the alleged use of chemicals such as tire fluid.
Oh, no.
And bathroom caulking.
Oh, no.
To enhance desperate women's posteriors.
Okay.
So she pumps them up with Fix-A-Flat,
that's
literally.
So weird.
Although lawyers were ultimately unable to prove what exactly the 36-year-old put in her concoction, she pleaded no contest in February to manslaughter charge. So this killed somebody, effectively taking responsibility for the death of at least one patient. The result came after a medical examiner determined the silicone in Shatraka's newbie's behind.
I like how the article says silicon.
Yes.
The computer chips silicon in that person's behind.
Leaked to other parts of her body and led to respiratory failure. Of course, Morris did not invent butt injections and is not even the only quack accused of killing someone with the procedure. Still, she was easily the phenomenon's most famous practitioner. And her native Miami is generally regarded as the epicenter of what some call an epidemic.
The epidemic epicenter.
A judge sentenced Morris to 10 years behind bars, followed by 5 years of probation, although Newby's family has sought a life sentence. You know, I can understand that. If she caused the death, even if it was unintentional, she should have longer than 10 years, I would think.
The whole butt thing reminds me of, there was back in like the 90s, there was this, it was in China or Japan. The guy was making, Chinese dumplings, making dumplings out of cadaver butt. Buttocks.
Yeah.
So the fat out of the buttocks. Tasty. We need a soundbite that says tasty.
Oh, I'll get one.
All right. And finally, Aaron.
Last story.
Dutch student flies to Sydney, Nova Scotia by accident.
How do you do that?
Well, you start flapping the wrong direction. A Dutch student learned the hard way that some deals are too good to be true when he landed in Sydney, Canada, instead of Sydney, Australia.
He said, man, I got here a lot quicker than I expected.
Mylan Shipper told the CBC that he bought his flight because it was much cheaper than all the other tickets. Instead of heading straight to the beach as he had planned, he found himself in near blizzard conditions with nothing more than a light jacket.
Yeah, he's lucky he had that.
Airline employees helped him book a return ticket home to Amsterdam. Poor guy. The 18-year-old said he knew something was amiss when he had a layover in Toronto.
His connecting flight
was in a small Air Canada plane.
What gave it away?
The plane was really small, so I figured, would that make it to Australia? He told the CBC. It's not the first time hapless travelers have made that mistake. In 2012, a young British couple also landed in the Sydney, more famous for its lobster boats than its opera house. In 2009, the Daily Mail reported that a Dutch grandfather traveling with his son also wound up there by accident. Italian tourist made a similar error in 2010. Once Mr. Shipper landed, airline employees helped him book a ticket back to Toronto so that he could return to the Netherlands. His father, he told the CBC, laughed an awful lot when he picked Mr. Shipper up at the airport in Amsterdam.
I bet he did.
I feel sorry for the guy.
I'd laugh. If it was my son, I would be dying laughing.
But I feel sad. You know, the guy really was excited to...
Sure, you're going to the beach in Australia. Going to Australia, period.
Because you're going to go there and get stabbed by some animal.
That's not a knife.
That's not a scorpion.
Well, anyway, Craig, that brings us to the end of this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. So I will see you next episode, I suppose.
I reckon you will.